This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The low point for City Hall ethics was October 2002. City Council members Kiki Martin and John Sanders were arrested for selling their votes. Since then, San Antonio has worked to tighten the code of ethics for the council and provide oversight, not only to avoid public corruption, but also to avoid the appearance of public corruption. But lately, there have been some problems on council with ethics, and there have been some calls for new rules and procedures. Recently, we had a problem with land owned by Councilmember Elisa Chan that was next door to where the city was going to put a library. And in September 2012, Deputy City Manager Pat Giovanni and construction leader David Zachary were accused of having conflicts of interest for their part in a $305 million construction contract let by the city. So have you lost any of your confidence in the ethics of City Hall? We invite you to join our conversation. Give us a call at 614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org, and you can go to our comments section on our website at tpr.org and send us a tweet on Twitter. Our guest, San Antonio Express News columnist Brian Chasnoff and chair of the City Ethics Review Board, Art Downing. Welcome to The Source.
Thanks.
So what is the process? I mean, we have an ethics review board. Art, what do you guys do?
Basically, what we are charged to do is to handle any ethics complaints that are submitted to the city that are regard to city employees, city officials, or city the council or mayor.
So a city elected city official
officials,
or even a high-ranking employee, someone on staff.
Correct.
So, and anyone can do it.
That's correct.
You can just go right on the web and there's a form there.
Not quite. It has to be a sworn statement. It has to be submitted to the city clerk as a sworn statement. And there is a form. Yes, there is a form.
So how often does that happen?
I would say that we probably have anywhere from 6 to 10 complaints a year, some of which never actually get to the ERB because they don't meet the standards of actually possibly being something that would fall under the ethics code or the campaign finance code.
And Brian Chasnoff from Express News, you keep an eye on this process. You cover the meetings. Obviously you've been covering this issue and somehow coming up with information that somehow the Ethics Review Board is news to them about what's going on in City Council.
Well, I think the conflict that came up with Pat DiGiovanni, who, of course, is a former deputy city manager, that sort of launched my real scrutiny of the process. And, you know, we covered we kind of did a thorough analysis of the Ethics Review Board's entire history, actually, after that case, just to talk about what the scope of the punishment, you know, what they can mete out in terms of punishments and how they arrive at conclusions and so forth.
So with the Pat DiGiovanni, there was he got a letter admonition saying, you know, you messed up, but he didn't, but it wasn't taken that seriously. It wasn't a criminal complaint until there was a complaint filed to the Ethics Review Board, right?
I wouldn't define it as a criminal complaint. It was more civil, would you say, right, Art?
Correct.
And really, it was, you know, people thought that this was something that should not have happened, just as far as him serving on this evaluation committee for this very, very high-dollar contract, $300 million, the renovation of the convention center was the largest in the city's history. He was appointed to this committee by the city manager, and he at the same time was negotiating his future employment at Central Partnership, which is a nonprofit, negotiating in part with David Zachary, the construction leader you mentioned. And of course, the eventual winner of the contract for the convention center was a joint venture, Hunt Zachary, which included David Zachary. And just the timing, the way it all worked out, people thought that, you know, he should not have served on that committee while he was simultaneously talking to David Zachary about his future employment, negotiating the terms of his employment.
You know, it's really hard to keep all this stuff straight.
It gets a little you need flow charts, right?
Yeah. And if you're just a everyday news casual consumer, you don't make a study of this, you see a headline, oh, another city hall ethics blow up, and you don't know what to make of it.
Right.
So, I mean, tell me about your reporting on that.
Well, I think it's important to distinguish here between intentionality and not intending to commit these mistakes. There's been two major incidents where ethics have come into question. The first one was the DiGiovanni, more recently with Councilwoman Elisa Chan. And in both of those cases, city staff as well as city officials said these were mistakes. These were oversights. We did not realize that we were creating an appearance of conflict. Sorry, we made a mistake. I think for someone who's viewing this from the outside, it's important to understand the justifications for this that are coming from the actors themselves.
And so Art Downing from the City Ethics Review Board, do y'all walk through council members when they first become council members and explain to them what their obligations are? And
the city attorney and the office of the city clerk conduct training for new council people as well as new board members, new city employees, yes.
And there are supplied copies of the code?
And the code is online as well, yes.
So does that really wash when they say, we didn't know?
I think that what we've seen and what Brian is alluding to is the fact that when people are involved in their day-to-day business, the ethics or the ethical implications of their acts are not something that's sitting at the forefront of their brain. They say, okay, I'm trying to get this job done. This is the most expeditious way of doing it. And they don't sit back and say, if I do this, am I creating an appearance of impropriety? Is there anything that I need to consider? Do I need to raise some red flags? Do I need to ask for somebody's opinion as to whether or not this might be a problem? People just press on and get the job done. And I think that is by far the greatest problem, is that the ethics and all the implications that implies are there, but they're not at the forefront of someone's thought process. And I don't know how you fix that, really, except that it periodically something comes up like has recently, and that gets everybody's attention, and then everybody pays more attention for a while. And hopefully that's in our opinion, one of the primary roles of the Ethics Review Board is to create this openness so that those issues get raised and become public information. We're not out there as a punitive entity per se.
Right. So you're not really a watchdog. You're not really bearing down on top of them. Well, we can get more into that. Yeah. We got to take a break. When we come back, also, we want to talk about some new rules and procedures that are being talked about that could go into effect, that could make things tougher, even more review for the council. If you want to join us in the conversation, 614-8980, City Council Ethics, here on The Source. Stay tuned.
I want the new District 9 Library vote to reflect the fair selection process that brought it here. And the decision should be weighed on its merits, free of taint of questions and accusations about my participation. Regardless whether those questions and accusations have any merit, they confuse and demean the city's decision. And that's why I put the item back on the agenda and why I'm not participating in the discussion and vote. And I'm going to excuse myself this time.
And that was District 9 City Council Member Elisa Chan. And she was talking about the vote that was taking place. She had voted before about a city land deal to purchase a property for a library. She had property next door to it. She did not recuse herself with that original vote. They had to re-vote. And Brian Chastoff from the San Antonio Express News, that is something you covered.
Yes,
that was pretty
is.
Emotional, her comments there.
it was quite striking at the time. Clearly, this was a difficult week for Councilwoman Chan. Through my reporting, I found that she was hesitant at first to call for the revote. Eventually, she agreed to do that and recuse herself. And I think that she felt like the process was so meritorious. And you hear this word a lot. And
what does that mean?
That there was enough merit. In other words, that the decisions that were arrived at by the city officials were inherently had enough merit that all these other considerations, these potential conflicts, appearances of conflict, they don't matter as much. And this is, to me, I don't agree with that viewpoint. I think that the other side of it, these appearances of conflict and or actual conflicts, they matter almost as much as the merit.
So Art Downey, chair of the City Ethics Review Board, are you all involved in this case, or is there a case now with Councilmember Chan?
There has been nothing brought forward to the ERB at this time.
So it's just something that's played out in the public, in the media, but there is no ethics violation that you guys are looking at?
That's correct.
All right. We do have calls, and we invite other listeners to give us a call. The number is 614-8980. We're going to start taking calls. And, John, you're on the air. You're on The Source. Go ahead, John.
Hey, thanks a lot. First of all, I appreciate the program and the opportunity to comment. I appreciate both of the guests. God bless the Fourth Estate. That you guys uncover this stuff is absolutely critical. It's critical in city. It's critical in the state and federal government as well. It's not, your guest said it's not top of mind, and I appreciate that. But the reason it's not top of mind is because nobody sees any consequences potentially. There needs to be a watchdog. There needs to be some punitive consequences when these actions are taken by our elected public officials. The fact of the matter is, if you follow the money and you look at the potential gain of the people who stand in judgment of these programs, they know full well, I believe, that there is an opportunity for their advancement or enhancement, and they are looking beyond the potential ethical violations, knowing there's not going to be any. There's simply knowledge that there's not going to be a consequence. Thank you so much for revealing this through the media for us consumers of the information. It would be so hard to tease this stuff out without the newspapers doing what they do. God bless you, and thank you for bringing it to the fore. I hope that ethics are at the fore. And by the way, I work for a large multinational corporation, and I just went through my annual ethical review, and it's like an hour and a half. God forbid that I would do some of the things that my own council people do. I'd be called on the carpet and potentially lose my employment. So it's on the top of my mind. It should be on the top of our elected officials' minds as well.
All right, John, thank you so much for those comments. Very good comments. And so Art, he's saying that there are no consequences when there are violations of the ethics, but you're the guy who's supposed to bring the heat, bring the pain if there are violations, right?
I would disagree somewhat in that. We do have the ability to render an opinion and then also adjudicate some punishment. But the punishment is pretty limited, and the areas which we can apply that punishment are also very specifically delineated. So I wouldn't say that we are, and I think I said before, my belief is that we are not primarily a punitive entity. We're an entity is there to educate and bring the ethics matters to the forefront as much as anything else.
I think you might have us confused. It's my job to bring the pain.
All right, Brian.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah,
so reading his columns are pretty painful sometimes.
All right. Well, let's go back to the phones. Robert wants to talk about whether or not the council members have a good excuse. Robert, you're on the air.
Thank you. Hello?
Go ahead, Robert.
I guess the question continues to be to Mr. Downing and the Ethics Review Board is that if you're going to accept that I just wasn't thinking about it as a reason, then perhaps the rules are maybe not clear enough. I mean, clearly if you find yourself in a situation like Mr. DiGiovanni, I guess an elementary school student, would be asked the same thing. You know the rules and you broke them, so here's the consequences. So I don't understand why the ethics review is having a hard time deciding that it was a violation. All and right. not was, well, Jesus, they didn't really think it was. Well, it either is or it isn't.
Okay, Robert, thank you for those comments. So he's kind of laying out how people want to have some sort of tiger that can really bite into a council member when, or high-ranking city official when they step out of line. But that's not the way things are set up, right?
That's correct right now.
But maybe with some of these new rules and new procedures that are going into place, so any hope there?
There is a process that we go through every year, the Ethics Review Board in conjunction with the Office of the City Clerk and the Office of the City Attorney to review the Ethics Code and the Campaign Finance Code and to update it and to make it stronger, to make it clearer. We do that. It's an ongoing process. As I said, it's every year. There have been major revisions to the code in 2005 and 2009. Hopefully there will be some additional revisions this go around. But again, I think that opening the issues to the public is more important than slapping someone on the wrist.
And I want to make a couple points. The first one is I think the public should notice that the city has self-corrected to a large extent when you contrast the reaction to the disclosure about DiGiovanni with the exposure of the Chan situation. In DiGiovanni's case, they did not revote the contract. They went ahead and, in fact, fought this allegation that there was a violation of the code. Of course, that the Ethics Review Board eventually ruled that there was a violation, and that sort of was embarrassing, I would say, for the city officials who spent all this time and energy arguing against that. In the case of Chan, there is an immediate, I would say, an almost immediate realization that this looks bad. We need to revote this and be transparent and get it out there and just deal with it. What stands out to me is when in the DGVO, my story ran in the paper the day that they were to vote on the contract for the convention center, not a single word from any council member about whether or not this should go forward. Everybody was silent. Mayor Castro spoke and the city manager spoke. And when they revoted the land deal, or when they didn't actually revote it, they rescinded it. Nearly every council member spoke, and they were very vocal about their discomfort with the process. So to me, that is progress. And I wanted to make that point.
There is a heightened awareness that we need to pay attention to this.
It's already happening, yes.
But tell me about the new procedures that they're talking about and new offices that they're creating.
Well, my understanding, and again, this is all very fresh, and tomorrow actually they're going to be briefing City Council for the first time in B session. But from my sources, what I've gleaned is that we already have a city auditor, but now the city auditor would be responsible for reviewing political contributions and financial disclosures to identify potential conflicts of interest associated with high-profile contracts. And I believe he or she would also review a random sampling of contracts that aren't as high-profile. And this auditor, this ethics auditor, if you will, would report to a compliance officer that is selected by the Ethics Review Board. Right now, this sort of task is undertaken by the city attorney, I believe. The city attorney, Michael Bernard, is sort of the go-between, or sort of between the city and the Ethics Review Board. In this case, I believe this would be another layer of independence. Art might want to comment on that.
As far as how it's actually going to work, it hasn't been fleshed out yet, but yes, that's the concept. And one of the things that most people don't either know or understand is the fact that the ERB is a citizens board. We have no investigative powers per se. We have no investigators.
No subpoenas.
No. We can issue subpoenas for a hearing to city employees and city officials. So we can subpoena them and they have to come.
But no wiretaps.
No wiretaps, no okay. Private eyes, no investigators.
Sure. You can just ask questions and
that's correct.
To the bottom of it. All right, I want to go back to the phones real quick, and Claudia is on the air. Claudia, you're welcome to The Source.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. And so my first comment is, again, also I wanted to reiterate the thanks to the wonderful journalistic investigation that occurred. But my question is, is in regard to both cases that were brought up against Councilwoman Chen and then Mr. Giovanni. And the only difference that I see between both of them, someone made, I forgot who made the comment regarding that that it seems like there's more action being taken and that the city's being more more conscious of taking action against, you know, Councilwoman Chen. And the only reason that I think that that happened was because in Chen's case, the only person who really stood to gain anything was, you know, obviously Councilwoman Chen, versus in the Giovanni case, there was big money behind it. And so it made no sense, and I would imagine for anybody, to obviously, you know, like for Zachary, you know, they're big.
Well, Claudia, I need to, we're running out of time, so I'm going to wrap that up and see if we can get some response on that. Thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. Thank you. So do you think that there was some unfairness that Councilwoman Chen got was hit harder than Don Giovanni?
To me, I thought the caller's point there was that the convention center contract was so high dollar and there was so much at stake. I mean, this was the renovation of the convention center. This is the mayor's decade of downtown. There was so much at stake that there was nobody was going to speak up and say let's grind this to a halt, whereas it's the stakes are much lower with just revoting on where our library goes. So,
and Art, do you think that Pat Giovanni got off easy, or the Chen got hit harder?
I don't want to comment on that because I think that the only complaint that came to us was the DiGiovanni complaint, and basically we did find that he had violated the code, that he should have recused himself, and he didn't.
And so the process continues, and you're strengthening it. We'll hear more about that at City Council this week, I guess. We're going to get an update and more developments. We'll keep following your columns at the San Antonio Express News. Brian Chastoff, and thank you so much to City Ethics Review Board Chair Art Downey. This is The Source on KSTX. This is the first half hour. In the second half hour, we're going to talk about the Mexico and U.S. relations and San Antonio's role as they move forward. Stay tuned.